Proverbs chapter 4, if you would. And we are spending this one last morning dedicated to discussing healing. That Jesus Christ is our healer all the time. All the time. Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm going to be reading starting in verse 20. And if you don't have your Bible, it'll be up on the screen. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they, my words, are life to those who find them. And they, my words, are healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Did you know that the Word of God is the very best medicine in your medicine cabinet? You put the Word in front of your eyes. You don't let it escape from your sight. And what happens? It somehow gets into your heart. And then those words, once they have been in your eyes, in your ears, in front of your sight, drop down into your heart. And those words of God can physically heal your body. Spiritual things happening to heal your physical body. And then he says this, keep your heart. Put a guard over your heart. If you're going to let the word of God concerning healing to drop in your heart, you need to post guards there. Because trust me, you will have many opportunities to lose that word. And then you will lose that faith. And then when you are confronted with sickness, you won't know how to pray. So he says you need to keep your heart with all vigilance. You need to set a guard around your heart so that that word doesn't get stolen from you. So it gets into your mind through your sight, through listening, through all your senses, drops down into your heart. Okay? Now, what happens after it gets into your heart? Jesus says, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth will speak. So how do I know what's in your heart? Well, what have you been talking about recently? I've said it before and I'll say it again. When you stub your toe, you'll find out what's in you in abundance. Something's coming out of your mouth. Something's coming out. And you say, well, how'd that get there? It got there. You inclined your ear to it. You heard someone else say it. You kept it before your eyes. Somehow got in there. And then it just came out. When I was in the latter years of elementary school, I developed a certain kind of vocabulary that was filled with words that one might not want to say in church. I became an individual who had a very bad vocabulary. And people knew, people at school, they would, you know, someone would say something in class and people would say, oh, I've never heard you swear before. And I actually heard, this is a true story, this is my testimony this morning, I actually heard somebody use me as an example and they said, now if Tim said that, I knew it was Tim. Because Tim swears all the time. Look at me being a good Christian influence in the schools. Isn't that fantastic? Now, I trained myself, don't worry, Mom and Dad, I trained myself very well to have a school vocabulary and an at-home vocabulary. But you can only do that for so long, because guess what? It was in my heart. And so one day when I was at home alone with my brother, something came out. And the look of horror on his face as he reached for the phone and said, I'm calling Mom. And I suddenly realized what I had said. I had brought my at-school vocabulary home. I used some nasty words. Let's just say that you should be glad that you didn't hang around the playgrounds that I hanged around with as a 13-year-old. You probably wouldn't be too happy with me. Okay. What happened? Why do I share that this morning? So that you can think less of me? No. How did it get there? It got into my heart. I heard it. Over and over and over. Now, you can't hide yourself from the world. How many have found that out? You can't live under a rock. We're not called to live under a rock. We're called to be a city living on a hill. So we can't hide from the world and say, well, I'm just not going to hear it, I'm not going to see it, I'm going to avoid all of these things, I'm not going to let them get into my heart. Well, you're going to hear them. The key is stopping them from getting down into your heart. How do they get down into your heart? Well, you start believing something about them. You start, see, I started believing that it would gain respect from others if I used a certain vocabulary. I believed that somehow, that this was going to be advantageous to my social life. Therefore, I started saying certain things. So what you believe is very easily perceived by the words that come out of your mouth. All we got to do is just hang around for a little bit and I'll find out what you believe. Well, I believe that I'm going to get sick because my neighbor's sick and they sneezed on my door handle and, you know, I touched the door handle, and so I believe that I'm going to get sick. You've told me not only something that is what you believe, but you've actually spoken something in faith. You've spoken it out. And Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Proverbs 18:20 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What are you declaring? I mean, if faith is a real spiritual force that changes our reality, why would you want to use your faith in the wrong direction? Well, I believe I'm going to get sick. Why would you want to do that? See, your words are not just a reflection of your present reality. They are a means of creating your future reality. You speak it into existence. How did God create the world? At the beginning, he saw that everything was void. There was darkness over everything. And what did he say? Boy, it sure is dark here. No, he said, let there be light. He spoke light into existence. And you say, well, that was God. Yeah, but we have been created in his image and after his likeness. And what was the first task that God gave Adam to do? I want you to name the animals. And the Bible says that whatever animal name that Adam gave the animal, it says that was its name. Did you know that a dog wasn't a dog until Adam said dog? It wasn't. It was just bleh. There was nothing to say until Adam said it. Adam said dog, and that thing literally became a dog. God gave Adam a creative assignment. Your words actually shape reality. They don't just reflect something that you believe to be true. They actually create life or death, depending on how you use them. What you say bears significant weight on your circumstances. So what have you been declaring recently? Well, I just can't seem to get a job in this economy, you know. It's just my luck. Nothing good ever happens to me. Nothing good. Well, Pastor Tim, that's just the way that it is. No, that's the way that it will be if you keep talking like that. Romans chapter 4 says that God calls things that are not as if they were. You know what that looks like? Pastor Christer just talked about it for a little bit. He sees you sinning and he says, you're righteous. He calls your righteousness into existence even though it was not there without Christ. He calls things into existence, and we need to learn something from God in that we need to use our words wisely, not thinking about it just being a reflection of the past, but a process towards the future. What are you declaring? See, why is a prayer so powerful? Is it because you said in Jesus' name at the end? Well, yeah, Jesus' name has incredible power. But why is it that we think that our words can be so powerful in prayer, and then as soon as we say amen, we can just go and say whatever we want as if God stopped listening, as if we hung up the phone, and God's only going to hold you to your prayers? Well, no, everything that we say, God's listening. And our words are shaping our lives. And so we've been spending several weeks talking about healing, and I believe that there's many here who have been doing what Proverbs 4 says. You have been attentive to God's word. You have inclined your ear to God's word concerning healing. You have kept it in front of your sight. Maybe you're letting it get down into your heart, but how do we know if it's going to get down into your heart? You're going to start talking differently. You're going to see, instead of saying, Can you pray for my arthritis? If you ask me to pray for your arthritis, you know what I'm going to say? No, I will not. I'm not going to pray for your arthritis. I'll pray for you. See, what have you done? You have taken that as you have defined yourself by your sickness. My arthritis. This is mine, as if it was your little pet. Will you pray for this? No, I won't. I'll pray for you. Oh, Pastor Tim, you're being real picky. Yeah. Yeah, I am. Because the Word of God says that we need to be declaring things. Psalm 107, verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Say so. Have you been redeemed? Have you been forgiven? You know what we have to do in order to become a child of God? You need to say something. You need to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You need to actually speak it into existence. Why? Because words are far more powerful than thoughts. How many thoughts do you have in a day? Well, you don't count? Am I the only one? No. You have endless thoughts, just nonstop, but you don't speak nearly as often, right? And sometimes we allow the Word of God to only get as deep as our thought life, and we walk away and we go, in our heads, we say, I believe that. Yeah, I'm growing in my faith for healing. But when have you allowed it to come out of your mouth? Because that's a whole nother level of belief. When you begin to declare, I am healed, rather than saying, will you pray for me? Maybe God will heal me sometime. No, I am healed. I am healed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So I'm gonna make my own translation and say, let the healed of the Lord say so. And if Isaiah 53 is true, which we've talked about throughout this series, that Jesus, by his stripes, took your sickness and disease. He bore it for you. And that by his stripes you were healed. Then guess what? You are healed. Here's what we need to realize. As long as the Bible says, I am healed, you should never say, I am sick. Somebody's wrong. Somebody's wrong. If you have a statement and God has a statement and they don't agree, guess who's wrong? We are. And the Word of God says that you are healed. It says he sent his word and it healed you. So if that is truth based upon the Word of God, then you should not be able to say, I am sick. The wheels are turning. See, if there are spiritual laws that work for us, those same spiritual laws work against us. If declaring I am healed brings manifestation of healing, then declaring I am sick brings greater manifestations of sickness. So don't attach your faith to flu season. Don't attach your faith to germs. Don't be scared to touch doorknobs. You grab your Lysol wipe and you rub it down. No, you say, I am healed as you open that door. You say, I am healed as you're at the airport going down the escalator and you got that hand on that railing that 300,000 people have sneezed on that day. If you think about the disgusting things that we encounter in a day, you'd develop some faith in sickness. Think of all the germs that we're breathing into this room right now. No, don't. That's kind of going in the opposite direction. But that's my point. We need faith to be able to survive in this world. So why not use our faith just to the utmost? God, I am healed. I am healed. I am healthy all the time. I don't get sick. You begin to declare those things, and it does something on the inside of you. It changes something. See, thoughts are very easily changed. You could think, well, I think I'm healed. I think I'm healed. I thought that I was healed. I used to think that I was healed. Thoughts change very quickly, Right? But when you declare something, it changes something on the inside of you where you say, no, I made a statement concerning this. I'm going to stake my grounds here, and I actually believe that God has forgiven me. So even though sin came into my life, I'm still going to have a smile on my face because I know God's bigger than my sin. Okay? If that's true, then you say, okay, well, sickness has somehow come up in my life, but I have spoken and I have decreed and I have declared that I am healed. Therefore, I'm going to stake my ground on the healing power of God and I'm never going to let go. You put your faith in what the Bible says to be true rather than our experiences that tell us otherwise. See, how did Jesus handle the enemy? When the enemy came to test him, to tempt him in the desert, what was Jesus' greatest weapon? He said, Satan, it is written. It's written. And what is written is a greater truth than anything else in all of existence. So you find what the word says to be true, and you begin to declare it with your own mouth, with your own words. You don't just think it. It goes from your head into your heart and then out of your mouth. The book of Isaiah says, God says that my word will not return to me void, but it will accomplish the thing that I've sent it to do. My word will not return to me void. How does God's word get returned to him? Through your words. God says, I've healed you by the blood of Jesus at Calvary. When you say, I am healed, you send the word back to God. You return it to him, and he says, my word doesn't return to me void. So if we're going to play catch here, your healing's coming. If I'm going to make a statement, you are forgiven, and you say, God, I receive your forgiveness. Guess what happens? You become a child of God. Same thing with healing. We begin to declare, I am healed. I am healed. Well, but I feel sickness in my body. What's the greater truth? You are healed. And you keep declaring that and adding your faith to it until your reality changes and lines up with the Word of God. See, at the end of the day, either the Bible's true and God's right, or he's not. And if the Bible says that we're healed, guess what? We're healed. We're strong. We're healthy. We've got life in our bones. We've got strength in our eyesight. We've got everything that we need to live on this physical earth that God has given us. I read a story this week about a man who was playing golf with a pastor in Arizona. And this pastor had invited this individual who had many testimonies about healing. And he also invited this doctor who was starting to come out to the church, but he was very skeptical about this whole idea of healing because he was in the medical field. And so the pastor organized this golf game, hoping that this gentleman's stories would convince the doctor. So they're golfing, and they're talking, and this one gentleman's telling all these stories about healings that he's experienced, and the doctor's really not, doesn't seem to be moved much by these stories. He still seems very skeptical of everything. And the pastor tees off at a par three. And it's a beautiful drive. It's going down towards the green. And surprisingly and shockingly, it hits a bird. And the ball and the bird just go right down. They made it onto the green, praise the Lord. But the bird went down. They started joking that the pastor hit a real birdie. But then they stopped laughing because they realized that the bird was kind of lying there with its wing up in the air. And they thought, we don't think this bird's alive. So they hopped in their carts. They drove up to see this bird. And the doctor took a look at it and said, this bird is dead. The pastor says, well, you're the doctor. Like, what should we do? How can we, like, take care of it? You're the doctor. And this gentleman who had all these stories of healings, he thought, let's just raise the bird back to life. And he began to say and speak out loud, not think, not have thoughts, not pray a prayer. Speak, I release life into you in Jesus' name. That bird flapped its wings and shot off into the air. Now, the doctor was convinced in a God who heals. And I share that story, and I'll add to it something that Jesus says when he was speaking to his disciples. He says, why don't you look at the birds? God takes care of them. God meets their needs. And Jesus says, how much more is God willing to take care of you? If he is interested in a bird, no offense, bird lovers, if he is interested in a bird coming back to life, how much more interested is he in healing you when you are sick? We begin to declare with our mouths, I am healed. I am redeemed. You begin to make statements of the truth in the Word of God. And we need to make a decision this morning to live out Proverbs 4. I read through Proverbs 4, chapter 20, and I read it to myself. I read to myself, I am your son. I am attentive to your words. I incline my ear to your sayings. I do not let them escape from my sight. I keep them within my heart, for your word is life to me because I have found it. It is healing to my flesh. You begin to take what the word says and you personalize it. You make it your own. God, you sent your word and it healed me. By your stripes, I am healed. You begin to read the Bible in a completely different light. This is a book written for you, personalized for you, and it has the truth of the Word of God that will change your life forever and ever and ever. Stand with me this morning. Make this your declaration this morning. I am healed. And whatever it is that you may be needing right now, you make your own declaration. I am forgiven. I am loved. I am filled with joy. Boy, that'll get rid of depression. You walk around for hours upon hours upon hours declaring, I am filled with joy. You won't be sad for much longer. I am forgiven. I am redeemed. I am a child of God. I am what the Word of God says that I am. When God looks at you, think to yourself, what does He call me? And begin to speak that out. Come into agreement with Him. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say, I am redeemed. I am healed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. And God, we just come into a place of agreement right now where we want the Word of God to not just be in our minds and in our hearts, but we want it on our lips. God, that we would begin to speak your Word mixed with faith, and we will begin to see results. We believe it, Father, right now. We receive what you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen.